Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Enyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church, and Operation Save America continues their assault on Denver, Colorado. And what a time, what a week it has been. Hundreds of the strongest that I've ever seen in my life. The strongest, most battle-hardened, courageous, wise Christian soldiers. And I don't mean that in a militant way. I mean that in a way of loving God and committed to their neighbor, are in town. And we have in the studio Mary Ellen Ehrman of OSA. Mary Ellen, thanks for being here.
Thanks, Bob. Nice to be here.
And Leslie Hanks, Vice President of Colorado Right to Life. Leslie.
Thank you, Bob.
It's so good to have you ladies here. We're going to let everybody know, bring them up to date, what's been happening. And one of the main things, and we'll get to it in maybe about 5 minutes, is that OSA went to Iliff School of Theology in Denver today, and Bill Clinton's pastor, Philip Wagaman, is now the president of Iliff, and he spoke. He had a luncheon, and there was about 30 people there. Five happened to be from OSA, and afterward, there were 6 questions asked. 5 happened to come from OSA, and it was a good time. So you ladies were there. I was there. We'll talk that through. But first, about the rallies. We want to invite people tonight, but how about could both of you tell me, what did you think about last night? It was a packed house, Operation Save America's rally at Redeemer Community Church, and Brian Rohrbach, Columbine dad Brian Rohrbach, spoke.
It was powerful, Bob. It was, as you well know, you were there, but there was not a dry eye in the house as far as I can remember.
Yeah.
You know, Brian spoke so eloquently about how it is that a nation that teaches its children that it's okay to take innocent life can expect anything different than the Columbine Massacre. And, of course, his son lost his life there, and he broke all of our hearts. And, of course, we always have grieved with him and for him and his family. But it really came home last night as to the importance of Operation Save America being in town. He thanked the people at that meeting last night and said, "You guys are doing the right thing, and thank you for being here."
And here's a regular dad that all of a sudden was catapulted into the national spotlight for an unfortunate circumstance, but he is able to connect the dots between the violence in the womb and the violence in the streets and our schools.
So absolutely true. And he said something that it sort of startled me, even though I know Brian, but to hear it from a dad who's not a part of OSA, Operation Save America, but he applauded us for going and protesting in front of Christian churches because he said those churches, well, they need to hear the truth. And here we were today at Iliff School of Theology, a United Methodist, supposedly Christian college that has completely turned its back on Jesus Christ. And we heard Philip Wagaman speaking today all about Jesus and the love of God. So Brian's talk, I was sitting next to a guy who's one of the leaders of OSA, and here's, you know, he's a man's man, as all the men are with OSA. And I just noticed that he's really having a hard time just listening to the story. And I think about all the suffering and pain in the world, and why is it here? It's all here because we disobey God. All the suffering that anyone has ever experienced is because we disobey God. And if we love our neighbor, we're going to do what we can for ourselves and others to obey God.
Absolutely. And, you know, by Brian saying that it was okay, or he was glad that we were picketing at the churches, he is admitting and illustrating for us how missing in action the church in Colorado has been in the abortion holocaust. And, of course, we started the abortion holocaust here
in Colorado
in 1967, and the churches are missing in action. It's just very, very sad.
Leslie, you know that at our church, Denver Bible Church, we announce every week how many babies have been saved that week and so far in the year, and we're up to 51 so far since January 22nd, the way we count, since Roe v. Wade Day. And that's mostly just a small handful of Christians at one abortion mill, Planned Parenthood at 20th and Vine. What if churches would say, you know, our church, once a month or once a quarter, we will show up at one abortion clinic because we can't be at all the abortion mills in Colorado. We don't have enough people. But just once a month or even once a year. So perhaps there's somebody out there who says, you know, I go to a church that's pro-life and they don't do much, and I'm going to see if I could get my pastor to commit to put me in charge, and once a year we're going to have our church day showing our love for our neighbor at an abortion clinic.
What a great idea. And, you know, one of the events that we had today was at an abortion mill, Jesus Loves Little Children Day. And that's where moms and dads, grandmas and grandpas, little boys and little girls come out and they express their love. And we've done that in Cleveland. And we don't have the signs there of baby Malachi. We don't have the abortion signs showing the aborted babies that day because we know there's going to be little kids out there. Although most of the little children with us have seen those
They
understand
right.
them. But we bring out balloons. We serve hot dogs and Coke afterwards. But we praise and worship. We have the children making signs right there. We have them doing sidewalk chalk.
The children were sidewalk chalking all around Planned Parenthood today. Things like Mommy, Please, and, you know, God loves you, God loves your child. And to see that in sidewalk chalk written by children all around the abortion mill and down the block, and some moms park on the street and they go to walk, and they're walking over these pleas to them to consider God, consider their own lives and their child. Very powerful. And then, Leslie, I think you were at another location. Were you at Porter Hospital?
No, I wasn't.
Okay. Where were you when the teams were separating?
Today?
Yeah.
I was making my husband breakfast.
Oh, good for you. I'm sorry. I put you on the spot. What did you make him? Yeah. So we split. Three teams went in three directions, like Porter Hospital does abortions. So many of them in Denver do. But I went with the group to Planned Parenthood, and the children, there were about 100 of us there, and the children were singing, and we had a PA system, and this music was so beautiful and so moving to hear these little voices that were obviously just cries out that everyone would recognize the value of a child.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Were the escorts spraying off the sidewalk chalk?
No, not while we were there.
Mm-hmm.
And there was at least I saw one mom walking the full length of the block with John Reyes, who was on this show, talking to her. And I think it might have been John's wife, Kim, trying to sidewalk counsel. We have people we call sidewalk counselors. Most people don't know what in the world that means. And we have sometimes 8 seconds or 50 seconds to try to get a woman to change her mind and save her life, because she's going to become a woman who's killed her child if she follows through with that decision.
Mm-hmm.
So we have sidewalk counselors who are among the heroes of our generation.
And I think Joe Scott's going to be doing a workshop training sidewalk counselors after this whole event.
Yeah, that's right. And that's really exciting. And we'll let people know about that on our website at kgov.com. So last night, clearly, there could have been no place in Colorado that could have been a more powerful event to go to than was at the OSA rally at Redeemer Community Church last night, listening to Columbine dad Brian Rohrbaugh. But tonight will also be extraordinary. Leslie, you know the speaker.
Well, it will. Yes, we do. Reverend Clenard Childress is going to be speaking tonight, and we actually brought him to town about a year ago. 2004, our March for Life speaker was Star Parker, and she was to come and speak to the Ministerial Alliance, and she had an unfortunate tragedy in her life. Her daughter lost her life, and so we knew we couldn't prevail upon Star to come to Denver during her grieving period prior to our march. So amazingly enough, Ken and Joe Scott happened to know Johnny Hunter, I think, is with the same organization that Reverend Childress is with, and they got us connected. And Reverend Childress has a website called blackgenocide.org, and I'd sure
Very
encourage
powerful.
Your listeners to take a peek at that, Bob.
Because Planned Parenthood was started by a racist, Margaret Sanger. She had a Negro project. She would use a Nazi eugenist to write articles for her newsletter. And the goal was to reduce the number of minorities, and especially blacks, in America. And Planned Parenthood has succeeded in leading the way to kill about a third of the blacks that would be alive in America today.
Yeah, she called minorities human weeds. And what the website shows us is that the abortion is the biggest cause of death in the African-American community, above heart disease, diabetes, all the highest rates.
And blacks are no longer the number one minority in America demographically. They've been surpassed by Hispanics because they're not killing their children at the rate that blacks are. So Margaret Sanger and Planned Parenthood was successful. And not only are there 10 million dead black babies today because of it, but blacks have less of a voice.
That's right.
And, you know, we're up in Boulder where they're mocking and ridiculing us and vulgar and foul-mouthed because they're the tolerant, beautiful people. And the liberals are killing their babies by the millions. And we conservative Christians, we're having babies. How many families here at OSA are homeschool families, Christian, and they've got 5 kids, 6 kids, 7 kids, 8? Any
the Yoders
here?
Have 10 of their 12 kids here.
10 of their 12 kids here. What a beautiful family, too, the Yoders. So, wow, praise the Lord. Do the numbers. And God told us children are a blessing, but they're also weapons for the family of God, because our kids will have a voice. And the enemy, they are killing their children.
Mm-hmm. Bob, they're killing their children at a rate of 1,300 black babies every day in this country. And I had an opportunity today at the Iliff School of Theology to share that fact with Markeva Hill, who introduced the speaker today. She's the head of the Iliff Foundation, I think.
Yeah, she's a black woman, and she introduced Clinton's pastor, Wagner.
Right, and I invited her to come tonight. I said, I'm concerned about your race. You people are being unjustly targeted because they put these killing centers in the inner city where they know.
Planned Parenthood does.
That's right.
And they put their referral, they ring the city with referral clinics next to hospitals and universities, and often in minority neighborhoods. And then the women go there, they get the birth control, that fails, and then they send them for $500 go downtown and get an abortion.
Well, I'm hoping she comes tonight, and she said she had a birthday party. She wasn't sure she could make it, but I said, well, maybe you know some other people that would like to hear his message. So we're hopeful that she'll be there.
That's at 6:30. If she is, boy, that'll be big news, really.
Absolutely.
She introduces Philip Wagaman in the afternoon and listens to Clannard Childress in the evening. What a day that'll be. But what a
one
day it
is. One spectrum to the other.
Yeah, and what a day it is for us, because we were in Wagaman's talk, and then we'll be at the rally tonight at 6:30 at Redeemer Community Church. It's so easy to find. It's in West Denver. Take I-25 to Spear North, 32nd, make a left, and it's a few blocks.
And it's a great little area, a neighborhood with tons of cute stores and great restaurants.
So
come up early, have a little bite to eat, and then come on, have praise and worship with us and hear a great speaker.
The pizza across from Redeemer is really good. I don't know the name of that little pizza parlor, but that's good.
It's good.
Okay. So now let's talk about today when at Iliff Center of Theology, what's the name of the school?
School of Theology.
Iliff School of Theology. Their interim president is Clinton's, basically his former pastor when he lived in Washington, D.C., Philip Wagaman, who's United Methodist. And by the way, George W. Bush is the same denomination as Hillary Clinton, United Methodist, and his United Methodist Church in Houston. We called there when he was running for office first time, and we asked the membership director, I said, if I have a homosexual friend, could he attend and be a member in good standing? And she said, oh, absolutely. And that was George W. Bush's church.
Mm-mm-mm.
So we wonder why our leaders don't understand the battle we're in. Mm-hmm. And it's largely because the church is broken, and the church has lost its way. So at any rate, Philip Wagaman spoke. There were about 30 people there for a wonderful homemade lunch. And about 30 people, 5 were from OSA. And there were 6 questions afterward, 5 from OSA. You ladies were involved with that. So let's talk through. He was discussing where does truth come from? Is there such a thing as absolute truth and right and wrong? And he talked about the issues of the day. He mentioned Rwanda, but it's really Islam, Muslims killing other people, 800,000 people slaughtered, Terri Schiavo that was starved to death, homosexuality, and abortion. So Mary Ellen, these are the things that we came to Denver to talk about.
Absolutely. And I was wondering when he was going to get to abortion, because as we sat in that room, all of our friends were on the street holding our signs and protesting out in front. And, I mean, it was like the emperor had no clothes. He was there to talk about ethics.
Yeah.
And it was so obvious that there's a bunch of protesters out there, and he didn't even mention it until the very end.
The very end. But I was thrilled he did. And we could see the protesters and the signs of the slaughtered babies, the pictures. From inside this beautiful luncheon room with these gorgeous windows, and what a setting with the trees. It's just beautiful. And here are these people, these protesters, saying don't kill babies.
But it was so surreal, because he was just like a Sadducee or a Pharisee, because here he is intellectualizing the debate of ethics when we're slaughtering our children,
right.
And godly pro-life people are outside calling it to task, but it was just a bunch of gobbledygook. Oh, he contradicted himself so many times. It was incredible.
And there were, he quoted one of our leaders who he heard at the protest, and let's get to that in a moment. But Leslie, I found it so fascinating that I think a lot in the Christian community, certainly the entire secular world, will look at OSA and think we're just
nuts.
Irrelevant. Well, crazy. We're irrelevant, right? We're just extremists and we're irrelevant. And we're here to fight abortion, homosexuality, Islam, and basically with the truth of Jesus Christ. But nationwide, what is it that the whole nation, the president, the Senate, the media, the universities, everybody's concerned about? Really one issue right now nationwide. What is that one issue?
Abortion.
Abortion, because of the Supreme Court vacancy. And there are other issues, but the number one issue is abortion. Mm-hmm. Then we go to hear the president of ILF speak. And what is he talking about? The slaughter of, he didn't put it in those terms, but Muslims slaughtering infidels in Rwanda, Terry Schiavo, and homosexuality and abortion. And so the issue that OSA is focusing on, the issues, they are the issues that the world is fighting. That is the battle where God wants victory in these areas. And we are considered irrelevant, not only by the media, I believe, but by the body of Christ.
Mm-hmm. But when you talked about surreal earlier, how surreal was it when Markiva, who opened in prayer, said, and I'm reading from my notes here, "We thank you, God, for the gift of life." That just cracked me up.
Absolutely. And then Mary Ellen Ehrman, you were quoting Waugeman in your question. He spoke for about 40 minutes or so.
Plus.
And then we all asked questions, and I thought it was pretty neat that all our questions, we were quoting him. And by the way, when Flip...
It was so good. I mean, he gave us so much material. Each of us could have asked 20 different questions.
Yeah, he did. And when Flip asked the question about him preaching on forgiveness when Bill Clinton committed that terrible sin and even crime with Monica Lewinsky, Philip Waugeman said, "Are you Mr. Benham?" And I thought, wow, I'm here with a celebrity. Flip Benham, all right. But let's talk about some of the things we asked, the comments we made.
Okay. Well, Leslie actually referred to it first in her question. He made a statement about the way to deal with the Bible is by applying it. So she asked the first question, then I piggybacked on her thoughts, because, you know, he was saying that love affirms existing human beings. When he got on the subject of abortion, he said,
"This was incredible. Your point, what you pulled out of what he said. Go ahead."
He said, "Love affirms existing human beings," and then he was pontificating as to when does life begin, and so he made a distinction between beginning life versus personhood, and we hear that argument all the time. You know,
right,
when does
right.
a person become a person? And
right.
And he said it wasn't present in the beginning, i.e. in the beginning of a pregnancy. Right. And so he made the comment about dealing with the Bible by applying it. So I referred him to Jeremiah 1, when God says, "I knew you before I formed you in your mother's womb."
And he mentioned even dehumanizing.
Yeah, that was the other quote.
You referenced that.
Yeah, he was, I quote, "When we treat other persons as means to our own ends, we are dehumanizing ourselves."
Yes, and so here he is defending a right to kill a baby in the womb And he's saying we can't treat other people as a way to our own ends. We're dehumanizing ourselves. And he's advocating what now has happened 50 million times in America alone,
right,
the dehumanizing of mothers in America.
Well, and I posed the question. I mean, he was very confusing because he contradicted himself so many times. So I just kind of played dumb, you know, and I said, well, I just don't understand. I know you don't want me to walk out of here confused, and please explain this, you know. And
you were playing the dumb blonde?
I was playing the dumb blonde, yeah, and it was fun.
It really,
but that's not a, that, you know, blondes aren't dumb,
oh, no,
ladies.
Not at all. But
as we both sit here with our highlighted blondes. Hair. Yeah.
But it was really great, and it showed. I mean, he was saying the words that were true. At one point, Flip Benham responded to something that was said during Waugaman's talk. Flip Benham said, "Amen," because Philip Waugaman, Clinton's pastor, said absolute truth. If I recall, I think he said absolute truth resides in God.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Yes.
That's true.
I wrote it down. For a Christian, the only conceivable absolute is God.
Well, for a Christian, that's a caveat.
Well,
go ahead.
Well, I was just wondering, well, what about his principles and what about God's principles? Because earlier he had disputed the infallibility of the Ten Commandments. So God and God's principles, aren't they one?
Right. He doesn't believe that the Bible is the literal word of God. But he very many times he gave these caveats. For a Christian, God is, Christ reveals God for a Christian. In other words, and for a Buddhist, maybe a chicken reveals God. But for a Christian, Christ reveals God.
Mm-hmm.
But he did say at one point, without any clarification or qualification, he said that absolute truth is based in God. Maybe he slipped by not clarifying it. And then Flip Benham said, "Amen. Amen." That's right. Leslie,
I asked him when he started talking about dealing with the Bible by applying it, I said, "Well, then what about the verses in Deuteronomy that say, I set before you blessings and cursings, life and death, choose life that you and your descendants might live." And he said, "Oh, absolutely. I applaud choosing life." But then I can't remember what his backpedaling statement was.
He said it was the context. He said it was the context, implying that if we look at the context, maybe killing an unborn child fits into choosing life.
Well, he did talk a little bit about—
Which was a cop-out.
He did talk about the rape, incest, life of the mother exceptions, too. So, I mean, that's probably his loophole.
And then he referred to the facts. What are the facts? Mm. Like, you know, in other words, it's situational ethics.
Right. And then I was sort of thrilled that he ended talking about all these difficult issues, the ones that OSA deals with every day of the year, and especially during their national event each year. He ended with abortion. And, you know, as a speaker, you usually will end with something very powerful. And when you're killing children, unborn children, that's pretty powerful, no matter which side you sit on. So, and he said, it's inconceivable that we should allow infanticide. And for what reason did he give? You know, he only spent 3 seconds on it. But he quoted someone who said even the stones would cry out against killing infants. Well, he doesn't know that the New York Times wrote 3 pages that perhaps we should legalize infanticide in the first, you know, month or so.
Oh, my.
So we have a video on that, Mary Ellen.
Peter Singer.
We read, this is another author, and we read the whole article on this DVD, Infanticide Exposed. Not by, but in the pages of the New York Times. Mm. But anyway, so he said infanticide is wrong, but when it comes to abortion, it comes down to personhood, he said.
Well, and didn't he compare an unborn child to the wall?
Well, to the piano.
To the piano.
Well,
yeah, that's right.
Let me clarify that. He said it comes down to personhood, and you need at least a minimal degree of awareness, and then you're a person. And so I then asked the question, and I said, I have 2 questions for you. First, if you are wrong, if this judgment is wrong, that at fertilization the child has no awareness, then what are the consequences of that? If that judgment, because, oh, and I said, and are you certain? are you certain that at fertilization the child is not aware?
Mm-hmm.
And if that judgment is wrong, what are the consequences? And he said, to his credit, mm-hmm. he said, if that judgment is wrong, then the right to life movement is correct.
Mm-hmm. He did.
And what have we been saying? That killing an unborn child is a violation of God's command not to murder, and it should be criminal. And so he admitted that. And then as to the issue of is the child aware, I asked him, why would you think this child at the moment of conception is not aware? And he said, oh, because we know that comes from your brain. And I challenged that, and we talked about that back and forth for a moment or a couple minutes. And when people die as a Christian, he doesn't believe that when you die, you're no longer aware, because your awareness doesn't come from your brain. Your brain is made up of atoms and molecules. It's a physical organism. And atoms and molecules they're not aware. They don't have self-consciousness. Matter and energy can't reason. It can't love. It
right.
can't emote.
Right.
We are self-aware. We can love because we're made in God's image and likeness. And it's our soul spirit that enables us to be aware. It's not the atoms in our brain that help us think.
Mm-hmm.
It's our soul spirit. Mm-hmm. And so I challenged him to reconsider. And then afterward, we went up, each of us, and spoke to him again. And it was a good time to plead with him.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, Flip Benham pled.
He pled with him because he's leading people to hell. He's leading others. He's a wolf in sheep's clothing.
Yeah.
Well, he heard some good teaching today, Bob.
At ILIF?
He heard some good teaching
from
those of us that were in the room that he wouldn't have probably otherwise wanted to hear. But
mm-hmm.
Yeah, he did. And I introduced myself as the pastor of Denver Bible Church, and we meet nearby just down the street. And he said, well, perhaps we could have a dialogue. And, of course, we'll see if we can pursue that. So
Bring him on the show sometime, Bob.
Yeah, that would be good.
That would be something.
And for him to think, and I challenged him at the end to reconsider, do you really believe that atoms and molecules are self-aware, that they can reason, that they could love, and that it's at the moment of fertilization, we know that God enabled parents to procreate. And so the father and mother come together, and that soul spirit comes from, you know, mom and dad. It doesn't come from the calcium and the food of the mother 3 months later. It doesn't come from the liquid she drinks. So that self-awareness and that awareness of God and that I exist, that comes at the moment of fertilization. And what does your soul spirit know when the baby's a little baby in the womb? Well, we don't know all that, but John the Baptist leapt with joy in Elizabeth's womb
when he
was 6 months of age.
Mm-hmm.
So
it's God breathing life.
Would have been another good verse to bring up today
so many good verses, right?
Mm-hmm.
The whole Bible. Mary Ellen Ehrman, thank you so much for doing the show today.
Thanks, Bob. Nice being here.
All right. And Leslie, we've been giving updates every day this week on OSA, and you've been a big part of it. Thank you.
Oh, what a pleasure it's been to have this many valiant warriors in town. We are so inspired and encouraged.
Yeah.
To keep fighting for legal protection to be restored in Colorado, where the whole abortion holocaust began.
Amen.
We have a debt of gratitude to Flip Benham and OSA. And to let you know, we have a press release on our website, kgov.com, about the Supreme Court nominee of George W. Bush, John Roberts. And we are urging, in fact, this was written before the pro-life organizations began to say they supported him. And we wrote that they would all support him, and we're urging them to reconsider, because he stated if it's his job, he will kill unborn children. He stated that in his confirmation hearing a year ago. So thank you all for listening, and tune in tomorrow. We'll continue with the OSA update.